Tiger!
Order, order.
Parliament resumes at 2 p.m. on Tuesday for the final 2 weeks in the parliamentary year, scheduled to end on Thursday, December the 10th. Beginning with question time on Tuesday, MPs will be working on a mix of government and members' bills next week, as previewed by the Leader of the House, Jerry Brownlee, in his business statement on Thursday, November the 19th, before the start of this last week-long adjournment for the year.
When the House resumes on Tuesday, the 1st of December, the government intends to make progress on the support for children in hardship, taxation annual rates for 2015-16, research and development and remedial matters, bill and other bills in committee on the order paper. Wednesday, sir, will be a Members' Day.
And topping the Members' Order paper is the completion of the first reading debate on a bill in the name of the leader of the New Zealand First Party, Winston Peters, which, among other things, would make health insurance compulsory for immigrants with children and offer a rebate on health insurance premiums for Super Gold Card holders. Two select committees were on the road during the past week's adjournment. The Māori Affairs Committee met in Gisborne on Monday to hear submissions on a bill improving governance of the Wee Perry Trust, established in 1899 to administer the estate of Wiramu Perry, a prominent East Coast politician and Member of Parliament representing the Eastern Māori electorate from the 1880s through to shortly after the turn of the century. The Local Government and Environment Committee, meanwhile, was in Christchurch on Wednesday, hearing submissions on the Environment Canterbury Transitional Governance Arrangements Bill, which, as Rhys Lyon reports, met a fairly hostile reception from people who turned up for the hearing.
Cantabrians have been treated as second-class citizens.
Here in Canterbury, we have a form of dictatorship. We are told who our ECAN representatives are going to be.
We basically do not have the trust that our voices are taken seriously at all.
New Zealand needs to have a real democracy, one where all the people rule. A good demonstration would be free elections for the whole of ECAN.
The extension of the ECAN lack of elections is an embarrassment to New Zealand's democratic tradition.
The last voice there, that of Christchurch resident James Dan, voicing concern about the Environment Canterbury Transitional Governments Bill's establishment of a mixed model governance structure rather than a fully elected one for the Environment Canterbury Regional Council, or ECAN. The government in 2010 removed the entire ECAN council, citing lack of progress on water issues, and in its place appointed commissioners to govern the Canterbury region. The Transitional Arrangements Bill up before the committee seeks to wind down that regime, putting in place instead six government-appointed representatives to sit alongside seven elected ones. But the majority of Wednesday's submissions on the bill were overwhelmingly opposed to anything but a return to full democracy in the region. This from James Dan.
We have here disenfranchised 500,000 people. Now, National did very well in Canterbury in 2014 and 2011. How come those votes counted? How come we can vote for our MPs and our government, which is clearly more important than our regional councillors, and those votes count, but we can't be trusted to vote for our regional councillors? Are the votes from, you know, the flag referendum going to be, you know, like scrutinised before they go in because they came from Canterbury?
James Dan then turned his attention to the substance of the bill and suggested ulterior motives for the government's continued interference in the governance of Canterbury's water supply.
This isn't about, you know, Dad down in the back paddock with his hat and his swan dry. This is about big corporate companies coming in here, and these properties, farms, are traded, you know, sold for huge amounts of money, highly leveraged, and one of the biggest things about them is their attachment to a water consent. You know, that's what the value of this land is. It's not about the land, it's about how much water you can get. And the biggest thing about this is not the democracy issue or the corporate ownership issue. It's about our water, it's about our environment and our water. Because it is a resource that all of us own. Not all of us even in Canterbury. All of us in New Zealand own Canterbury's water. No one owns it. All of us own it. And the fact that it's being traded around, that we've got Central Plains water going through and taking it all, is just, you know, it's an affront to, it should be an affront to all of us. ECAN has become the poacher and the gamekeeper for Canterbury's water.
And concerns about environmental degradation under ECAN were also top of mind for Forest and Bird Society representative Peter Anderson.
We see bad things happening. We see declines in water quality. We see declines in
numbers. I mean, studies are showing that there's ongoing declines in endemic river birds like the ryebill and the red-billed gull. It's all happening. And so we'll say, why has this been happening? Why when in the past this hasn't been happening, it's been happening now? And we say, well, there's two things that's happened. One, like the safeguards were removed. In 2010, you removed the safeguards for the environment. What you did was you said, the safeguards are our elected councillors and the safeguards are our merits appeals to the Environment Court. And let's just do away with those and let's put in some commissioners and let's give them a mandate to increase irrigation. That's what Forest of Birds' concern is. The concern is that you've removed all those environmental safeguards and now we've got this stuff happening. We've got plans going through which allow for toxicity in Canterbury's lowland rivers on the plains. We've got polluted water sitting in aquifers waiting to go into our rivers for years. And so I guess that's why we want the return of our elected representatives and we want the return of our merits appeals to the Environment Court.
Forest and Birds' Peter Anderson, whose concerns about the bill's continuation of restrictions on the right to appeal decisions to the Environment Court, was further explored by another submitter, Diana Shand, whose family had farmed in the region for generations.
The bill restricts access to justice by prohibiting appeals on matters of fact to the Environment Court and only allowing appeals on points of law. This weakens effective judicial review and is a very unfair and dangerous approach because if you're looking at long-term and careful resource management and an effective democratic system with checks and balances, well, you should have that power to appeal to the Environment Court.
A view backed up by the Law Society's Austin Forbes QC.
That is a matter of concern. There are other areas within our court system where you can only appeal on points of law, but to have it in this area distinguished again from what the general rights are under the Resource Management Act is a matter of concern.
Austin Forbes also criticised the open-ended nature of the transitional governance arrangements.
The government has clearly indicated on two previous occasions, going back some 5 years now, that in 2013 and again in 2016, solely elected councillors would be restored to ECAN. And even now, there's no unequivocal assurance given by the government that this will occur in 2019, which will be some 9.5 years after the, quote, temporary suspension of elected councillors and the, quote, temporary appointment of commissioners in 2010. Democracy, including the fundamental importance of it at a local government level, is not just some drum that the Law Society feels obligated to beat periodically. And so it is perhaps a little ironic that the Law Society should be making a submission to a select committee of Parliament on the fundamental importance of democracy.
Meanwhile, Christchurch City Mayor Leanne Dalzell appeared before the committee on Wednesday afternoon to put forward her council's preferred solution to the issues of water use in Canterbury.
What I do want to highlight is that right from the get-go, the Christchurch City Council has supported the establishment of a Canterbury Regional Water Authority. The rest of the urban functions of ECAN, of the Canterbury Regional Council, can be distributed to the appropriate local authorities. So that's always been our position.
Leanne Dalzell also had broader concerns about the government's insistence on appointed commissioners to ECAN.
When we come back to the fundamental issue, which is that the government isn't funding this body. The people of Canterbury are. So the bill's not really clear about where the accountabilities lie to the appointed members over the elected members. And I think that would be a very good question to ask and have answered as part of your report, because it certainly isn't clear to me, and it does seem that that's pretty fundamental when you come back to that constitutional principle of no taxation without representation.
Sitting alongside Mayor Leanne Dalzell was her deputy, Vicky Buck, who used stronger words.
It's absolutely insulting, actually, to the people of Canterbury to say every other region in the country where there is a regional council can elect their full council, but you people are not competent to do so. It's really, really insulting. And after a natural disaster where I think the city and the region have done amazingly well in bringing all sorts of innovations to the fore, to say to that community, you are just not competent to elect an entire regional council, is so wrong and so counterproductive to the well-being of that community that it's just more than annoying, really, really gross.
And on that note, we will need to draw this session to a close.
Local Government and Environment Committee Chairman Scott Simpson rounding off Christchurch Deputy Mayor Vicky Buck's submission on the Environment Canterbury Transitional Governance Arrangements Bill, which is due to be reported back to the House by February the 15th.
Rhys Lyon reporting on the Local Government and Environment Committee's day in Christchurch, while back in Wellington I talked to Rick Barker, one of two former MPs involved in the sixth triennial review of the cost of running Parliament. With John Carter, Northland's National MP for just under 15 years, up to 2011, Mr. Barker, under the chairmanship of Grant Taylor from Ernst & Young, produced a report of some 90 pages, and I asked him how it differed from its five predecessors.
The previous two reports had recommended little or no funding increases. And so this report comes at the end of a period of either stagnant funding increases, no, or funding cuts. And this report felt that the reductions in funding for Parliament, it got to a stage that it was threatening the operation of our democratic systems. The second thing which this report differs from quite markedly is we proposed a change in the way in which the funding for Parliament was done. At the moment, it's done by the executive branch. That's Cabinet, who brings down a budget and recommends to Parliament how it's done. We were proposing that the funding for Parliament should be done by Parliament itself, because Parliament is to hold the executive to account on behalf of the people, and if the executive was able to restrict the funding of Parliament, it would therefore restrict the ability of parliamentarians to scrutinise the role of the executive. So we felt that the funding of Parliament should be done by Parliament itself, and we recommended that it be done by way of the of a committee of parliamentarians with the expert advice.
Now, forgive me, I don't mean to be rude, but isn't this rather like giving pigs control of the trough?
No, it's not. It is a very open and transparent process, so that the officers of Parliament would have a select committee meeting. It would have open agendas. All of the reports would come to it, would be open and available to the public. The recommendation of experts, such as the Appropriations Review Committee, which is I've been part of, would make a report to the Officers of Parliament. The Officers of Parliament would then make a recommendation to Parliament itself, and Parliament would debate it and would then decide whether it was fair and appropriate or not. Very similar to a budget process, only it wasn't a budget process for the executive. This is a budget process for Parliament. And we do this on a number of occasions. The Office of the Auditor General is an officer of Parliament. Their budget is determined by Parliament. The Ombudsman is an officer of Parliament, similar with that. And the Commissioner for the Environment is an officer of Parliament as well. So these are people who are answerable to Parliament, not to the executive branch, which is the Prime Minister and Ministers. I think it's a very important distinction, but people who look at politics from the outside simply see Parliament, Government, Cabinet, all as one thing, but it isn't.
The report, I think, identifies a figure of $140 million a year for running Parliament.
Correct.
Which works out to what per person?
Approximately $30 per person, which I think is a pretty small figure, really. I think it's a pretty reasonable figure.
Did you make comparisons with other countries?
No, we didn't. We didn't have time to do that. But I would say that New Zealand Parliament proportionally runs relatively cheaply. we do things pretty efficiently here. I think it's the New Zealand way. We don't have two houses like you do in Australia, a Senate and a lower house. In Australia, you have the federal government and you have the state governments. We don't. We have just a single parliament, a single chamber. It's a pretty lean and mean machine here, and pretty efficient, I would have thought, too.
Rick Barker, Labour MP for 18 years, an assistant speaker, and one of two former MPs on the 6th Appropriations Review Committee. You can find links to their report and an extended interview with Rick Barker on our website, parliamenttoday.co.nz. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.